Good morning, everybody. We are on page 152, Imagination and Great Conception. And this, not for the children's amusement merely, it is not impossible that posterity may write us down a generation blessed with little imagination, and by so far the less capable of great conceptions and heroic efforts, for it is only as we have it in us to let a person or a cause fill the whole stage of the mind to the exclusion of self-occupation, that we are capable of large-hearted action on behalf of that person or cause. Our novelists say there is nothing left to imagine, and that therefore a realistic description of things as they are is all that is open to them. But imagination is nothing if not creative, unless it see not only what is apparent, but what is conceivable and what is poetically fit in given circumstances. Imagination grows. Now, imagination does not descend full grown to take possession of an empty house. Like every other power of the mind, it is the merest germ of a power to begin with and grows by what it gets, and childhood, the age of faith, is the time for its nourishing. The children should have the joy of living in far lands, in other persons, in other times, a delightful double existence. And this joy they will find, for the most part, in their storybooks. Their lessons, too, history and geography, should cultivate their conceptive powers. If the child do not live in the times of his history lesson, be not at home in the climes his geography book describes, why, these lessons will fail of their purpose. But let lessons do their best, and the picture gallery of the imagination is poorly hung if the child have not found his way into the realms of fancy. Thinking comes by practice. How the children's various lessons should be handled so as to induce habits of thinking, we shall consider later. But this, for the present, thinking, like writing or skating, comes by practice. The child who never has thought, never does think, and probably never will think. For are there not people enough who go through the world without any deliberate exercise of their own wits? The child must think, get at the reason why of things for himself, every day of his life, and more each day than the day before. Children and parents both are given to invert this educational process. The child asks, why? And the parent answers, rather proud of his evidence of thought in this child. There is some slight show of speculation even in wondering why, but it is the slightest and most superficial effort the thinking brain produces. Let the parent ask why, and the child produces the answer if he can. After he has turned the matter over and over in his mind, there is no harm in telling him, and he will remember it. The reason why? Every walk should offer some knotty problem for the children to think out. Why does that leaf float on the water and this pebble sink? And so on.